Monster Man, episode 266, Vilstrak to Vulture. Hey everyone, James from the future here. I just want to point out that during this episode, for the first few minutes, I call the Vilstrak, one of the monsters in today's episode, a Vilsack. I do catch it eventually, but I know that when I'm listening to it back again, it bugs me, so just in case it bugs you, don't worry, I do get it eventually. Sorry about that. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we are finishing up the V chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, though, it's time to thank some new patrons. That's right, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And depending on the level that you pledge at, you will get some additional bonus content. $1 patrons will receive occasional bonus content that I record kind of when it occurs to me to do so. I'm going to try and do some this weekend. I know I keep saying that. $2 patrons get bi-weekly episodes of my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I talk about the Deities and Demigods supplement, and how to use religion and mythology more generally in your fantasy RPGs. And $5 patrons will receive the opportunity to choose a monster for a special episode. So thank you very much to Andrew Clark and Carl Clare. Really glad that you're both enjoying the show so much that you want to support it. If you'd like to support Monster Man, but can't or don't want to do so financially, one thing that you can do that would be really useful would be to leave a rating or a review on the podcasting app of your choice, whether that's Google Play or Apple Podcasts, just whatever system you use to listen to podcasts. If you could leave us a rating, and even, you know, if you have the time, a review, that would be great. All right, let's talk about some monsters. First up, we have the Vilsack. Now, there is nothing wrong with the Vilsack, per se. It has some sort of humorous qualities, and that's not a bad thing. The Vilsack is a sort of earth elemental that lurks around underground environments, and it beats people up with its massive stony fists, and I guess it takes their stuff. It says at the very end of its entry that it is motivated by avarice, and that's the closest it really comes to a motivation. It makes lairs that, most of the time, because the Vilsack is an earth creature, it can, like, just phase through solid rock. So most of the time, a Vilsack's lair is impossible to spot because it's just in the wall of the cave or the mountain or whatever. But because Vilsacks aren't very smart, sometimes they just forget about this and accidentally create a lair that has a way to get to the surface or to get to the, you know, the main tunnel or whatever. And then you can go in there and find all the stuff that they've stolen. The Vilsack kind of has a sort of rocky, insecty kind of a look to it. It's a fine illustration. The weird thing about the Vilsack is its names. It is also known as the Tunnel Thug or the Marl Mugger. Now, I don't know what marl is other than that it's a type of stone or earth, but that's ridiculous. First, you wouldn't call something the Marl Mugger unless it was only found in marl, something that there is no, you know, indication of here, right? You got to go a good distance through this thesaurus before you think that marl is a good word for stone. It is only there because they wanted a word that alliterated with mugger. Now, this is not even the first creature in the Monster Manual 2 to be called a mugger, and it is, in fairness, significantly more appropriate in this case. That is to say that the Vilsack is basically a kind of magic criminal that lurks around areas with a lot of foot traffic, and then when it spies a lonely traveler, it biffs them and takes their stuff. I looked this up, by the way. Mugger, as a kind of general term for a criminal, seems to come from the idea that your mug is your face. So, it, like, someone who hits someone in the face, you mug them. You know, you hit them in the mug. But this just, you know, mugger is such a term of the modern era, such a term almost, like, specifically of, like, the 1980s and the 1990s, right? We're all very concerned about being mugged during that era. Whether, I mean, that is kind of the peak of the American violent crime problem, I suppose, but it might even be earlier than that. It might even be the 70s. I don't know. I am not a criminologist. But it's such a modern term that it is bizarre to find it not once but twice in the Monster Manual 2, because the Camp Folt is also called the Sinewy Mugger. And it's like a tree. I mean, okay, it's motile, but still. At least the Vilstrak, did I call it the Vilsack earlier? The Vilstrak. At least the Vilstrak does hang around and, like, biff people for their money, so that is pretty close to what a mugger does, I suppose. Honestly, though, it's just such a weird name. Tunnel Thug's not great, either. I mean, Tunnel Thug just describes so many player characters that it feels weird to apply it to a monster. A bit like the Vagabond from the previous episode. Anyway, the Vilstrak by itself is fine. The only really weird thing about it is it being called the Tunnel Thug or the Marl Mugger. Next up, we have the Vulchling. Vulchlings are a bit like vultures, only they have sort of semi-human features. And they're pretty great. They are kind of like, they're not that much different from regular vultures, as we will see, in that they are, you know, measly low hit die goon monsters. They're rather more dangerous in terms of the attacks they have, but they're not super tough. And they work at least partly because the illustration here, once again, is one of those ones where, given something kind of humorous and grotesque to deliver, Jim Holloway really shines. So its vaguely human features, that's the description, are depicted quite effectively in the illustration. And these are, you know, they're a bit sort of disposable low-level monsters who get some added punch essentially from the fact that we all think of vultures as kind of despicable and untrustworthy, right? That we think of vultures as villains to begin with. The illustration of the Vulchling sort of reminds me of the vultures from Disney's Robin Hood, and I think that if you think of Vulchlings as being like those guys, that's a pretty good way to portray them. Then finally we have the regular vulture, which comes in both comma ordinary and comma giant versions. Now, I really like the idea that vultures are given a pretty, like, detailed description of their sort of their scavenging strategies, which is to say that vultures are, you know, they're animals. They're not crazy. They're not particularly aggressive. And, for example, if they're targeted by an attack, like if you shoot an arrow at a vulture, even if you miss, the vulture will fly away. Why would it stick around to get shot? It's just was looking for a meal. But they're dangerous in environments where, like, someone goes down in a fight and then gets left behind. Even if they're not dead, if they're unconscious, if they're not moving, and if they're far enough away from where the rest of the fighting is going on, vultures might come down and try to, you know, scavenge their corpse a little bit. So there's some good discussion of kind of the way that they behave and the way that they can be a nuisance and a threat. In general, wild animals seldom attack humans. When they do, it's often because humans are a bit like Dungeons & Dragons characters might tend to be in places where they ought not to be. Not saying that wild animals aren't dangerous or that they shouldn't be treated with caution, but in general, people kind of leave them well enough alone. And your smaller things, like a vulture, you know, vultures don't start fights with things that are many times their size. You know, unless you happen to try to, like, stick your hand into its nest and then get ready for a pecking. The vulture comma giant is great, and I think that the vulture comma giant is terrific as an inhabitant for, like, the spooky mountains around a necromancer's castle, and it's also a great mount. I think that elite bad guy warriors could fly on giant vultures, you know? That's in Warhammer, that the Carrion, who are mounts for certain types of undead, are basically vultures comma giant. And in my D&D campaign that I ran, an elite wing of hobgoblin warriors rode on giant vultures that they kept in a particularly foul-smelling kind of eerie on the fortress island that they had captured. So I think that, you know, bad guys swooping in on their giant vultures, the arcane designs on the pennons of their lances fluttering in the breeze, I think that's pretty cool, and I think, you know, it works because of the poetry of the vulture, right? It works because we already have such clear sense of the moral meaning of the vulture as an animal, like we do for a lion or a wolf or a fox. So when you arrive with the giant vultures, nobody looks at the giant vultures and goes, oh yeah, these guys are probably all right. If you ride in on a giant vulture rather than a giant eagle, everyone knows that you're bad news. Okay, that's about it for the V chapter. In our next episode, we're going to continue into the W chapter of Monster Manual 2, so please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.